the love that God showed in Jesus, sending Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ's willingness to go to the cross and die on the cross for my sins, suffer a brutal death, a humiliating death, get mistreated by the same people that he loved so much. It's just a powerful thought. It has, you know, it definitely has something to do with my message, but it's not necessarily a message. But I want to proclaim that God is good, and his gospel is good, his word is good, spending time with him is good, Jesus Christ is good, and he loves you, and he loves me even more than we understand. As I was trying to figure out what the Lord would have me to speak on this evening, Luke 10 came to my heart, and the thought of the busy sister and the relaxed sister. And I started there, and I started looking at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And I just kind of started looking at that story and trying to put myself in there and what thoughts would be coming through my mind and what's going on. And I actually ended up taking a step back and just looking just at one of the two sisters. So to kind of give way into the story, we find that Jesus is entering into the house, and he probably had the disciples with him as well. There's no doubt that if Jesus walked into my house, I would be lit up. I would be excited. I'm like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Yes, you can sit in my chair, and I want you to be right here with me. I want to spend as much time as I can with you. This is absolutely wonderful. This is amazing. The Savior of all the world, the Creator of all things, the one that knows absolutely everything about me, knows my name, loves me all the way out, is sitting in my house. Sit right there. You want a drink? Can I get you a bottle of water? there had to have been a great delight in both of their hearts. As we look at the two ladies who are no doubt excited to have the God of all creation in their house, we find two different avenues of showing that excitement. Martha instantly goes into the kitchen and she starts cooking up the storm. You can hear pots clanging and utensils hitting against each other, and she's just furiously preparing a meal. And then we find Mary, and she sits down at the feet of Jesus and just worships him. Just spend some time with the Savior. How amazing that thought. Both of them were reacting from a place of joy. They were both reacting absolutely from a place of appreciation for even having Jesus in the same house as them. But one of them actually ended up in the end of the story lifted up because of their reaction. The other one ended up getting lightly rebuked. Now, I'm not going to necessarily talk much about the comparison between the two, but I want to focus on just Mary and the example that she set in sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary looked at Jesus and wanted to give her absolute best to him, give him all of her attention. She wanted to take full and complete advantage of the private time that she had with Jesus in her home. And really, doesn't God deserve our best? Doesn't he deserve all of our attention? The answer is absolutely yes. Emphatically yes. Because he has given his best for us. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Let's go ahead and read through this, and then we'll start talking about it a little bit. Verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus," or Jesus' feet, "and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall be taken away, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Father, I thank you for allowing me to stand in front of your people, Father, to bring your word. Father, I ask that you would fill my lips with your word, and just guide my words, Father, and guide my heart, Father, that I would only preach what you would have me to say. Father, work in the hearts of these people, Father, under the sound of my voice, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would touch our hearts, Father, convict our hearts, Father, even encourage our hearts, Father, if we're doing already what you would have us to do in these areas. Father, challenge us this evening, Father. Help us to walk out of these doors this night better Christians than we were when we walked in. Father, I need you, and I ask you to forgive my sinfulness and my shortcomings, Father. Lord, we thank you and love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I propose to you this evening that we need to spend time at the feet of Jesus. We need to purposely spend time at the feet of Jesus. Notice first with me that Mary humbled herself. Now, to take it very literally, she came as a child. I remember I was invited over to the Titus's house one evening, and I sat on the couch, and me and my wife were there, and Miss Sheila came, and she was standing, and then she sat down on the floor, and all I could think was, man, why in the world would you sit there? Look, I would have gone and grabbed a chair from something, from somewhere over there, but it was probably a natural thing, because she spends time with her children and playing on the floor to be at the same level as them. I also think back to a time, last time I spoke about Noah, and I spoke about the ark, and I told about a small story of when Spence was preaching at the skating rink. And I remember all the kids sitting on the floor in the middle of the rink. Isabella, in her very early years, about 3 months ago or so, during choir practice, I can always find her sitting right here on the floor playing with a toy. And then we find Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, that's pretty literal and not necessarily as spiritual as you would want it to be, but when's the last time you sat at somebody's feet? I don't do that. She humbled herself, and she came as a child, and she sat at the feet of Jesus. I'm gonna read this for you real quick. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1-4 says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as the little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That little child is the one that says, I don't really have the power to take care of myself. That little child is the one that says, I don't have the knowledge of understanding all the things in the universe. That little child is the one that says, I need help. I need help. Mary did not know all the truths that Jesus had. She didn't know everything that he had taught, but she was sure that she could sit at his feet and glean from him. She could learn from sitting at the feet of the Lord. Her heart was directly aimed towards a desire to please the Lord, to understand more about him. She used that time sitting at his feet, humbling herself to learn more about what the Lord had, to learn truth, to have her spirit nourished and filled by Jesus. She came as a child at the feet of the Master, and she was filled. Mary wanted to be fed with truth. And as I thought about that, I thought about, do you want to be filled with truth? And that was a question I was asking myself. I labored over this thought of sitting at the Master's feet and how much I've fallen short of that, especially in the last couple months. How much I've maybe even laxed a little bit on seeking directly after the truth of the Lord. And her desire so much so to sit at his feet to get that truth. Do you want that truth? And where is your heart focused tonight? Is your heart focused on yourself? Are you focused on your own desires and your thoughts on how the world should be, on how everything should come together the way you want it to? Maybe on material things or the things that I don't have enough, or I have so much and plenteous and it's so wonderful. If it's not tonight, your heart is not on pleasing the Lord. If your heart is not focused on standing on the truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death and the burial and the resurrection, I urge you to humble yourself and turn to God. Spend some time at the feet of Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through. Make pleasing the Lord your number one desire and lift him up in your life. So we find first that Mary humbled herself by coming as a little child, but she also came hungry. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 27. Excuse me, I'm having a hard time getting words out of my mouth. John chapter 6, verse 27 says, labor not for meat which perisheth, but the meat that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you or give unto you, for he hath God the Father sealed. Now Mary said, Jesus is here in my house, and I'm taking full advantage of this. She came hungry, and she was fed. The Bible teaches in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord whilst he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now, as I look at her taking advantage of the fact that Jesus is right here, and I'm going to sit right at his feet. I'm going to get everything that I can out of him until he just won't give me anymore. I'm taking everything that he's going to give me. I'm going to be right here. I'm not missing one word that comes out of his mouth. I'm not missing the way he moves his hand. I'm not missing anything because I want what he has. She's thinking that way. The Bible says, seek the Lord while you may be found. So Jesus was sitting there in front of her. What does that mean for us? Well, let's turn to Psalm 139. We'll look at verse 5 through 11. I was listening through the Bible at work, and I got to this chapter, and in the way that the guy read it, it just made it even more amazing, and I'm going to do my best to try to convey the thought that he conveyed just in his inflections and through the word, of course. Psalm 139, verse 5 through 11, or really 5 through 12. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hands upon me. Meaning that, God, you're right behind me. You're right in front of me. You're on my side. You're holding on to me. You're absolutely everywhere. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Mary took full advantage of the fact that Jesus sat right in front of her. She hung on every word. She paid full attention to him, and she wanted everything that he was going to give her. Can I let you know that the Spirit of God is around you all the time? Can I let you know that he loves to commune with you? He loved for you to come and sit at his feet for just a few minutes, to glean some of the knowledge and the truth, to refocus your heart back on the truth, which is the gospel, which is really the only reason that we're alive. I tell the kids every time I can, the purpose of your life is to make sure that everybody around you knows the gospel. Say it, live it, breathe it, be it. The result. God is everywhere. And with him being everywhere, he is right there for us to get at his feet. To humble ourselves. To come as children. Come as people not understanding all the things. Not knowing every truth. Not being in control of everything, but saying, I need help, Lord. I need you. I need you to speak through me. I need you to work in me. Teach me. Teach me. You see, Mary took full advantage of having Jesus before, but today we can take full advantage of the presence of God. We can sit at the feet of Jesus and allow him to teach us. But not only that, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, because of the sacrifice that he made, the burial, the resurrection, the Holy Spirit coming, because of that, I can step boldly into the throne room of God. Now, not irreverently, not in a ridiculous manner, but I can walk into those doors confident that the Lord wants me there. I can walk in there and praise the name of the Lord. I can thank him for the goodness that he's done in my life. I can petition him for my needs. I can make intercessory for the needs of others. But most of all, I can be in his presence. Man, if that don't mean anything to you tonight, I would really encourage you to check yourself. Make sure that you're inside the faith. Make sure that you really have Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you remember what that used to feel like, what it used to be like, you've slipped away. You've slipped back. I've done that many times. But I can stand before you and say, I've done that many times because the Lord has allowed me to come back just as well as he'll allow you. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Humble yourself. She didn't just humble herself before the Lord. She didn't just come as a child, and she didn't come hungry, but also she heard his word. In verse 39, it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." She put the word first. She put the word of God first. Before dinner and before cooking and all these things, she said, "I'm putting God number one." Mary was hungry for the things of God, and you can tell in what she did. She put herself in a place to hear every word that God would say. Mary didn't want to miss one thing. She wanted to catch absolutely everything. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." As I look at this, and as I think about hearing the word of God and hearing the word from Jesus, the question that comes in my mind is, have you read your Bible today? Dr. Rasmussen from West Coast Bible College, in every class that I've ever seen, he consistently says a few things. First, he says, first things first. You put first things first. He says, there's no breakfast before Bible. Have you read your Bible today? Some of you might even have to ask, do you know where your Bible is? I mean, I know this is a Wednesday night crowd. I know people don't typically come to Wednesday night if they don't really have a desire for the things of the Lord, but I think it's a good question. I think it's a good question. See, the Bible is the Word of God, written by the Holy Spirit through holy men of God. It is unlike any other book in this whole world. There is no book with so much with such an unfathomable amount of truth embedded into it, and knowledge, and depth. There are people that have been studying it their whole life and still read the Word of God and find something new. That's amazing. Probably a book worth reading once or twice, or every day, as I would encourage. The Bible is amazing because it's ready to chastise and bring to light those sins that are in your life that you don't want to let go of, and even to encourage you to continue in the faith. Continue after God. The Bible is the love letter from God to you specifically, that you may know him. That you and I both would understand just how much he loves us, the depths of his love. Mary was getting that directly from the lips of Jesus. And we can also, through the word that was penned for us, don't disregard it. Don't cast it to the side. Teenager, have you read your Bible today? Parent, have you read your Bible today? Father, have you read your Bible or plan to read your Bible with your family today? Get it right today and continue in the right way tomorrow. She put the word of God first, but she also gave her full attention to Jesus. Now, while Jesus was speaking, she was fully captivated by him, so much so that we can look in verse 40. In verse 40 of Luke chapter 10, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much service and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" Imagine there's pots and pans clanging. There's grunts and murmurings coming from the kitchen. And Mary is sitting focused on Jesus, focused on every word that he has to say. Now, I'm not telling you in any way to neglect your duties. I'm not telling you to neglect your family. I'm not telling you to neglect the work of the Lord. But I'm telling you that we need to put a focus on Jesus, just like Mary did. The cell phone going off was not going to take away her attention from her Savior. The social media dings didn't even register to her. The TV show might as well have been off because there was nothing coming between her and her Savior. That is how we should have our fellowship with the Lord. Removing distractions and those things that will take your attention from you and him. The God that loves you and desires you wants you to understand more about him. Give him your full attention. Give him your best, because really he deserves it. We find that Mary humbled herself. We find that Mary heard the word of God, right? And we also, by way of application, we find that the example that Mary set before us would leave us in a little bit different mindset after. Following after the example of Mary, we must sit at the feet of Jesus and humble ourselves, absolutely. We need to hear the word and apply it to our life, but the last part is a little bit different for us. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus to remember and to hold on to the nail-scarred feet. Now, Mary chose that good part, which shall not be taken away. Now, this world, I don't know if you've heard this before, but the world will all be judged. The things that we have done in this world will all be judged, and it will all be tested by fire, and only the things that we've done for Jesus will remain. Those treasures that we've laid up for heaven, where moths and rust doth not corrupt. Mary made the choice to lay up her treasures in heaven. She humbled herself, heard the word, because he is God, and only he is our only hope of salvation. Now we need to separate out time to spend at the feet of Jesus, to have him nourish our spirit, to get our thoughts and desires aligned with his will, as we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." But we need to spend time at the feet of Jesus as a reminder of the price paid. Though, when Jesus was in Mary and Martha's house, he had no scars on his feet. The feet she sat at that night were later placed on a cross, and metal stakes were driven through them. Luke chapter 9, verse 22 says, and this is Jesus speaking, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day." the Son must suffer many things. And he did exactly that, exactly as he said he would. Jesus Christ, as a lamb to the slaughter, willingly allowed himself to be scourged, humiliated, and killed for you and for me. Isaiah chapter 53, 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the shearer is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. The price that was paid on that cross, the life of Jesus Christ, given willingly for you and for me, for sins that he didn't commit, but that we did, for a sinfulness that he didn't have, but we have. That price is great. And if it wasn't, he would not have died on the cross for you and for me. Don't forget the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross for you. It is not a small thing. I had this conversation with Pastor James, I think it was just this last week. He asked me, how much are you worth? And I told him the same answer that I would have heard from some of the preachers I listened to. I was worth as much as, I can't remember exactly what I said, so I'll just walk through it. Your value is based on what someone will pay for it. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, paid his life for you. That means that you are just worth him. You're worth him. The price that Jesus Christ paid on that cross is a great price. You are valuable because of that price that he paid on the cross. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted. We need to spend time at the feet of Jesus also as a reminder of our need for the Savior. The price he paid, had to be paid. And if it did not get paid, then we would have owed that debt. If we owed that debt and have to pay it, that means we're going to hell. I don't know about you, but I think the last time I got up here, I said I would burn all the animals if that would mean I wouldn't go to hell. I can't pay that price. You can't pay that price. The only one that could pay the price was Jesus Christ. Came, lived, died, buried, and then rose again for you specifically. Because you need it just as much as I needed it. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. You deserve hell. I deserve hell. But because of what Jesus Christ did, we don't have to go to hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, death has no more sting. The concern for eternal destiny is gone. Because I know that I'm going to be with Jesus. My Jesus. My Savior. And he's also yours if you were willing to accept him. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and humbled herself. She came as a child needing to know the truth. She came hungrily for the truth that only Jesus Christ could share. Mary heard his word and put the Lord first before all things. Allowed no things to distract her. She gave her full attention to him, as we all should as well. Mary's example reminds us of that good thing which shall not be taken away, those nail-pierced feet. The reminder of the price that was paid for my salvation and for yours. And the reminder of our need for a Savior. Take time, set time, to spin at the feet of Jesus, because he deserves your time. Thank you. No problem, brother. Oh, I should take that.